Hello everybody, James here. Story time with Dutch Mantel, episode 77, finally. We did an attempted recording Thursday, the morning of Thanksgiving, and then we quickly realised what the folly was in that respect, because there was too much clanging around and all that kind of thing. So anyway, it's Monday. This episode's going to be coming out as soon as we record it, quite frankly. And before we crack on with the myriad news that we have for this week, including, as we record this, a live Tammy Sitch sentencing, which hasn't quite happened yet, but we'll deal with that later when, even possibly live, as it happens. We've got some plugs to do. I've got two books, and Dutch has got two books. My two books first, Owen Hart and The Rock. Two fine biographies. Links are in the description. You know the whole deal in every podcast and every video. And now I'm just looking at Dutch changing colour.
Yeah, I am. I don't know why I do this.
So you come from yellow to purple to blue. Okay, well, there we go. Sort of. No, it's just gone off now, hasn't it?
Well, let it go.
Okay, just one sec. Let's deal with this. Okay.
Hey, fans, if you didn't know that James is a stickler for some things.
You were blue.
Not on my screen.
You were bright blue. You're like a Mr. Man. Or like a Smurf.
Okay. I'll go with what you're saying.
Yeah, Papa Smurf, so, you could be, I guess, in that sense. Okay. You've got two books as well. Why don't you talk us through them?
Okay. The World According to Dutch, which is my first book. And I wrote this book, I don't know, in about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And I was writing, I would go out on the beach and I'd take me a bottle of Malibu rum, sit it in the sand, and then I would think about stories I was going to put in the book. And then I would go in that day about 4 hours later, and then I would be in an air-conditioned studio apartment. Then I'd start writing. And I wrote the book total in about, I don't know, 5 weeks, maybe. And then here is my second book, Tales from a Dirt Road. And it's a little bit bigger. I wrote it in about 7 weeks. And it also has some interchanges in there where my friend Malibu, Captain Malibu, helped me come up with. But they're good books. They're for sale right now. They're signed copies. So just write me at Dirty Dutch Mantel with two L's at gmail.com and I'll get right back to you. Plus, I have some University of Dutch caps for sale. If you're interested, write me and I'll get right back to you. So now, today, I think you may have hit this, but today, when we receive news, there is a trial going on, or a sentencing going on in Florida, which is where I am, and it's the Tammy Fitch trial where she crashed into that 75-year-old man and killed him. And she is going to be sentenced. And you told me before this podcast was through, right, James? Mm-hmm. Can you guarantee that or no?
It starts at 9 a.m. local time. We are on 10:45 a.m. local time as we record this right now. In the corner of my eye, I can still see the expert getting grilled by the prosecution and the defense, essentially. So should be some witness statements, impact statements after the experts, and then the judge will make her ruling. Something might be happening now, but I'll keep my eyes on it. And when it looks like it's going to be happening, then we will do a little recording. Maybe we can even watch it live. If we can't, then I'll just give you the number and then we'll react to it accordingly. But for now, we're going to leave that there. And we're going to talk about the big return, Dutch. The big return at Survivor Series. That's right. R-Truth has returned to the WWE after just over a year's absence thanks to a torn quad. R-Truth coming back. How does that make you feel?
Hey, that R-Truth, he has a lifetime contract with WWE. A lifetime. He's been there since the end of the Vietnam War. That's That's how long he's been there. And so you can think, well, people don't want to see him that long. I agree. But you don't see him ad nauseum over and over and over. But you do see him, and some of his comedy is good because they can just use it out of nowhere. But I like his stuff. But here's a guy. How long has he been there, James?
Oh, he probably got hired in like late 2000. He was in TNA for years while you were Booker, and then he must have been there like 15 years or something crazy. Like, just in WWE, he's probably been there like 15 years, let alone TNA.
Yeah. Well, in his defense, he's a very likable guy. Very likable. If you met him on the street and he didn't know, it don't matter. You'd be his best friend. And he is exactly the way he is that you would expect him to be by viewing his videos. He's a great guy. So,
ageless.
But I want to congratulate him for having a job. I don't know what else does he do there?
Well, nothing for the last year. I mean, he does wrestle. I think for the most part, he's just happy to be comic relief. But then years ago, when The Rock returned that last time for that last run, he was his first opponent with The Miz. So you could plug him in anywhere and he's fine.
Mm-hmm. So, well, congratulations to him. I've known him for years and years and years. And I'm glad to see him do well, make some money, and make people laugh. Because he's a good guy. He really is.
Is it annoying that he's just ageless? He hasn't aged.
Yeah, he is ageless. He seems to be. He looks probably younger today than he was 20 years ago. And one reason for that is he's not dry. He's not battling every night. He's not taking bumps. He's not taking slams or clotheslines or taking pile drivers. And what the people really don't, I think they realize it, but after somebody takes these bumps, and we call them bumps, for years and years and years, just like a football player, you can take them when you're younger and feel nothing about it. Or you may get a little sore and then you work it out. But when you get, and how old is Ron, you think, 50-something?
51.
Okay, when you get about 50 years old, and think about yourself, anybody out there that's 50 years old, could they go into the WWE and take those bumps? You're not taking them every day, but say you just take them twice a year and you will get hurt. You have to train your body to take these moves. Otherwise, you're really going to get jammed up. So, but he's doing well. And Ron, I liked him even when he was younger, back in his, when he could work an angle. Because he's very, very creative. And he's easy to work with. So I give him all the success in the world, and I hope he continues.
Yep, and we're glad he's back because he was out for over a year.
Hey, wait a minute. If I was there, if I was in the position that Ron Killings was in right now, mm-hmm. would you wish me success in my future endeavors?
What, you mean fire you?
No, just, you just say, hey, I'm glad he's doing well. I hope he continues.
I wish him well in his current endeavors.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm just checking on you.
Yeah,
I'm just checking on you.
No, I like R-Truth. He got an infection after the first surgery. Which,
who did?
This is R-Truth, Ron Killings.
I didn't know that.
He tore his quad, and then he got an infection in the area. Then he had to have a second surgery to clear out the infection, which is why he's been out for over a year. But now that he's back, at least on TV, hopefully that means he's on the road to recovery if he's not already there. Now, CM Punk.
Now, I knew you was getting to something. This is my favorite subject.
I know it is. I think it's a lot of people's favorite subject, to be perfectly honest. I've got many, many questions with it, and actually some very interesting follow-up questions as well. But CM Punk has returned at the end of Survivor Series. Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, and Randy Orton celebrate after their War Games victory. Then the WWE, you know, the little thing in the corner, the WWE copyright graphic pops up, signifying the end of the show. Then Punk's music hits. They're in Chicago, his hometown. The crowd pisses themselves with joy. And he does.
Wait a
little,
minute.
There is
the crowd.
Yep.
You know, we kind of watch our language on this show, James.
Are you rebuking me, if you like that word?
The crowd pisses themselves.
Rivers of whittle.
Go ahead. Rivers of whittle
of just happiness happening down the stairs. Okay. Of the arena. He does the whole sitting on the floor thing, you know, the whole it's clobbering time, and then that's it, basically. As we saw it on the pay-per-view, there's a story behind that as well, but for now, the pay-per-view goes off air and CM Punk is officially back in WWE. So I called it, I know I did, you called it, we both said that CM Punk would be back, and we both said he'd be back at Survivor Series. So a Barry Horowitz style pat on the back for us both.
But they did that in such a way that made me think, well, he may not be back. Because if you think of what Punk did, Punk got fired from AEW, just got fired. Because he made Tony Khan timid.
Fear for his life. Yeah. Was the quote.
Yeah, fear. He has never been so afraid as with CM Punk threatened him. So, and then it went on another, week or so, then they fired him.
Basically, yeah.
So he got fired, and now the conversation started. Now, one thing you say about Punk, Punk has a built-in, innate purpose in life is to get people to talk about him. So he got fired. But if you go back before that, he got fired in WWE too.
Mm-hmm.
So then he went to AEW and got fired. So we're thinking, where's he going now? And then all of a sudden, all that talk started to float out of WWE. We don't want him. He's hard to work with. He's insane. He's this, that, and the other. So you're thinking, wait a minute. They're letting all this stuff out. So maybe he's not going there. Then he goes to Chicago about a week later for a WWE show, but he was just in the parking lot.
Yes, this was during his suspension from AEW, wasn't it? In about a year or so ago, maybe less.
And I'm thinking, wow, this is okay. So when he went to Chicago, and when was that? A year ago?
Well, he lives in Chicago. He's been there a lot. You mean a Raw?
No. When he was in the back in the parking lot.
I think it may have even been in this. It may have been this year.
I think it was.
Yeah. But he was definitely on suspension at the time from AEW. So, yeah.
So now the people are thinking, you can say what you want to about CM Punk, but the one thing you have to say is he knows how to get people to talk about him.
I'm going to put you on a spot here. Do you think that CM Punk got himself fired from AEW on purpose?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I didn't originally think that, but I think that he wanted them to fire him because that goes right along with his, he's a maverick. Nobody tells him what to do. If you fire me, good, fire me. He didn't care. And originally I didn't think that, but now as time went on, I think that he got himself fired on purpose. Now the big question is he going back to WWE? Then you have all those people saying, no, he's not coming here. They're not going to put up with his bull crap. They're not going to do it. And then I was going to mention this. He went to a WWE show 6-8 months ago in the parking lot where he was talking to the Samoan girl, Tamina. Was that her name?
Yeah.
And he was filming him walking in the parking lot. And I'm thinking, wow, he's there at a WWE show. He goes inside. Then we hear that he's been asked to leave because the attorneys are there and they think they're going to get sued, which everybody understands lawsuits. So he's there. Is he looking for a job or what's he doing? And then as it comes out, Punk gets fired from there, and then here it comes for Survivor Series and WWE, and lo and behold, it comes out, the music, there he is sitting on the stage, and there he is.
Let me give you some of this then. So Punk's WWE deal was highly secretive. Only Punk's camp, Triple H, and Nick Khan supposedly knew. So that means that excludes the likes of Ari Emanuel.
We knew.
Of course we knew. We knew it all along. Ari Emanuel, head of TKO, possibly even Vince McMahon, didn't even know this. So about 10 days before Survivor Series, this is when the contract is signed, has been suggested a multi-year deal. But at this point, people are even arguing whether he signed a multi-year deal. We don't even know if he's going to be working a regular schedule or it's going to be more of a part-time deal like Roman Reigns. At this stage of the game, I'd probably think that Punk isn't going to be on the road full-time.
I don't think he would be on the road full-time. I think he may start out like that, then they'll pull him back. So
it was like a welcome.
If they start
tour kind
showing
of
the talent that he's being treated with deference, he's not there every night like they are. The talent, they won't like that. So, but again, like I said, he has the ability to make people talk about him. And I congratulate him on that.
We don't even know at this point, because various wrestling journalists are arguing on this point as well, if the main event players of Survivor Series that night knew if CM Punk was going to come out at the end. Now, I sort of find that hard to believe that they wouldn't tell them, but it's wrestling. No. Sometimes you kayfabe your own employees.
Oh, I've been kayfabed.
Oh, yeah?
I've been kayfabed a lot of times.
Example?
The Bastages. I was with, it was when ECW was trying to do a hostile takeover of WWE. We went out in a New York show and there was Punk. I mean, no, I'm sorry, not Punk. There was Paul Heyman and...
Remember Sandman, Tommy Dreamer? It was in Philly, in fact. It was Mind Games.
Yep, it was Tommy Dreamer, right. I had to think. Sandman and Paul Heyman. And they were all there up in my face. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't tell me. So I said, well, what would they have done if I'd have just pulled back and punched the crap out of one of them? But I didn't, because I'm such a professional. But if I have, I mean, I don't think that would have went good for me.
They had to stop Jerry Briscoe from doing that because they didn't tell him either.
Yeah. But you see, you take a big chance when you don't tell your own people. So they can come off and they see, say if they saw Vince, he was in somebody grabbed him and they had set that up. Well, you know, Briscoe would have punched him. Probably some of the guys would have punched them. So now we got this big thing going on and it's all set up, but they didn't tell us. I think the talent, if that was set up and they didn't tell the talent, I think they'd have had a fight later on between the talent and the agents or whoever came up with it. But yeah, they have a couple of times they didn't tell me. They did it on TV one time too. And I mean, they can make you feel like this is not a part of the show. They was in the ring or at, they were at ringside talking to me. And they were getting actually real live results or facials from what these guys were doing. And it was really funny to them, I guess, but it wasn't funny to me. And I wish they hadn't have done it because it could have ended badly. And it could have ended badly for me, to tell you the truth. I'd have punched one of them. One of them could come back and punch me. Then here we go. So
CM Punk was indisputably AEW's biggest star and ratings draw while he was there. And the question I've got for you really is Rampage is now doing record lows. Collision is doing record lows since Punk's firing, the ratings have sunk for Collision for the most part. And in the last 8 weeks, not that he was ever on Dynamite, but this is just sort of symptomatic of just AEW at the moment, is bang on 800,000 viewers average for the last 8 weeks. Will Punk's return to WWE further damage AEW's reputation and value in the eyes of the fans that are still watching? Or will AEW see no difference, essentially, for Punk moving from AEW to WWE? Essentially, is it damaging to the AEW product?
Oh, I think they'll see a big difference.
Yeah.
Because the majority of the fans, I think they want Punk there just to see what he's going to do. Because what he did in AEW, it wasn't anything, really. It wasn't anything to write home about. And so I think they're seeing what the top company can do with this guy and see if they involve some of his past and bring it back home. So I think it looks good for Punk on that side. You don't know yet, but what do you think the ratings were for AEW on Friday night, Saturday night?
I would love to know.
Know that yet?
No, we won't know that until Tuesday. I think because it's on a Saturday, it takes a few days to come out. But because Collision and Rampage both went against Survivor Series, I think, or at least Collision did, I know that. I'm going to say for Collision, 2.25.
You're pretty good with this. How much?
I'm gonna say record low 2.25 because Peacock has had a huge upsurge from a year ago in subscribers as well. So more people than ever, I think, at the moment have Peacock. Therefore, more people can watch Survivor Series rather than cable.
Mm.
Or they choose Peacock over TNT or TBS, whichever channel that's on. So well, I think 2.25 for Collision.
That's horrible. That is horrible. It really is. TNA used to get 500,000, 600,000 on Spike.
It used to be 1.1 million. All the time it used to be 1.1 million for years. TV's different now, but
that's when I booked it. That's when I booked it.
Of course.
But this is the deal that I have with TNA. I don't give a shit what you drew. They were never happy. Never. Say if you did a 1.5, which would have been ecstatic, it was like, well, it needs to be higher than that. Wait a minute. What do you want? I mean, Dixie was just never happy with any rating because she always thought it should be WWE value. And it didn't get there. Have you checked on the Tammy sentencing yet?
I've got it in my corner. We've still got an expert on the stand with an expert comb over as well. That's a very nice one. We will get to that probably at the end of the show because I think there's just going to be a lot of talking. I want to stick with CM Punk, and specifically, I actually want to stick with the Collision ratings. I've said 2.25. The reason why is because last Friday, AEW Collision was on a quote-unquote unfamiliar night even though wrestling fans are watching wrestling that night. And it did 270,000 against SmackDown. So this is in its regular time slot, and I think it's going to do worse. I think 225. Do you think above or below 225 for Collision?
I'm not going against you. You're a pretty good predictor.
Okay, well, give us a up, above or below.
I'll say below.
Oh, you're a pessimist.
It's below. This is because that day had some tremendous football games on, plus the pay-per-view. And now they can come out and say, well, we'd have drawn better had, you know, this ball game not been on, this football game, or if WWE hadn't ran their pay-per-view, or...
Well, if we pinned
McDonald's
them down.
McDonald's was open late.
If we pinned them down, Clockwork Orange style, and peeled their eyes open.
Yeah. Because there are a lot of reasons when, you know, because they want to have a reason for all these ratings not concurring with the fans agreeing with them. I mean, the rating going up, it's not going to go up, period. So I don't know why people would sit and watch it. And I'm sure there's people who sit and watch that.
Oh, well, if anyone, we're going to be talking about that later. If anyone sat and watched AEW Collision instead of anything else, there was a doozy of a match that we'll actually look at a little bit later. But sticking on the CM Punk, it's hilarious as well. I know you like a botch. I'm going to see how many botches you like in a row with this one. But we'll get to that a little later. Next on the agenda, relating to CM Punk, when CM Punk was out and getting the adulation from the fans, Seth Rollins, who is outside of the ring at this point, goes nuts. Is it a work? Is it a shoot? So essentially, a number of fans posted footage of Seth Rollins going nuts and having to be held back by Michael Cole, Corey Graves, referees, and what I originally thought was Joey Mercury. But it wasn't Joey Mercury. But why don't we look at those, and I'll set it up 1 second. So, this is one of two fan cams capturing Seth Rollins as CM Punk is out there being held back. So here we go.
Wow. He's upset.
Looks upset. Now, keep in mind that we're all trying to work out whether this is work or shoot, and there's no actual WWE cameras on Seth. This is all fan footage that we're going to see. Here's another angle. And this fella, Unreal Ent Gaming on Twitter, has helpfully provided what he actually said. So, I'll forward it slightly. Here we go. So basically, the quote is, all I'm saying is he better get the F out of by the time I get back there. I'm going to knock in the F out. And So I'm going to give you, in fact, we'll keep it there for now, and then I'm going to show you the third video in a little bit. But you've seen both of those there. Do you think that is work or shoot?
Oh, I think that's a work.
Yeah.
I think. Why would he get so upset, really, if it's a shoot? He knows he's going to make money, which has got to be a work. But it was a good portrayal of what he's feeling at that moment. So, and it doesn't matter whether it's a work or a shoot or anything. It still serves the same purpose.
What's the giveaway? So what's the giveaway for you to make it look?
He's a wrestler.
Okay.
And it's a fan cam, because the company cams didn't get this, did they?
No. I mean, I'm sure one or two did at the time, but the actual cameras were focused on CM Punk. Maybe there was a far-out stadium cam that picked him up, but there was no one close. So they were going out of their way to make it look as real as possible, if indeed it wasn't real.
Well, I think those scenes there are our works. So, because nobody else was acting that way. So, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking, why would he act that way anyway? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, we will see. It doesn't hurt anything. I don't think it really helps anything either. But you are trying to smother the situation with seriousness. So I think it was a good take on it.
I think that this is all playing off. I'm going to play the third video in a second as well, so maybe that might sway your opinion or solidify it either way. But it seems that quite a few months ago, in an interview that Seth Rollins gave, he made some months earlier, and I think he was sort of in character at the time as well. He called Punk a cancer to wrestling, and that WWE didn't want Philly Phil in the locker room. But in a subsequent interview with somebody else, Seth said that if Punk being in WWE is what's best for business, he had no problem with it. And then we go a few months later, and then, yeah.
He says what?
Seth Rollins said he would have no problem with CM Punk being in WWE if it is a boost to the company and what is best for business.
Okay. All right.
So, now, I'm going to show you the third video. So, 1 second. Another fan cam, and editor Chris helpfully put some subtitles to it. There you go. So, that was from last night as we record this, a house show live event.
So what is he actually saying?
He's saying boo CM Punk, and we appreciate the WWE, current WWE roster who made WWE what it is today, and CM Punk is piggybacking off it. And he's not welcome, kind of thing. It seemed more in promo mode, that one.
Okay. I think it's in promo mode too. I think he was just trying to kill time. They can take out what they want to take out. Is it real? Is it real as a wrestling promo can be, I guess. But the damage is done, or the angle is shot, and now they're trying to work their way around it.
But it's nice to have just...
I like it.
I do too. It's great when it's just that little seed of doubt. Even if you're absolutely sure, you're never fully sure. And that's what gets people to the matches.
Tell me if I'm lying. Tell me if I'm lying. Yeah, that's what that draws people. But is it real or is it not real? I was told that years and years ago by an old timer. He said, you want them to go away. There's my dog getting ready to kill somebody. You want them to go away from the angle and saying, okay, I believe that really happened. Or they is a, he really believes the angle that what happened to it. So, they've done a good job with this, I think.
I think.
Now, which makes you think, if they're going back 5 weeks ago, this has been in place for a while.
They claim 10 days. In fact, Triple H said that it was reported weeks ago that they had talks and the talks essentially broke down. And then Triple H's reasoning, I don't have the quote here, but it was something to do with the fact that if it was best for business, and if the fans told him they wanted CM Punk, then Triple H would sort of put aside whatever bad blood he had, or CM Punk would, and they'd all work for the greater good in that sense. And as I say, the actual signing of the contract only happened 10 days ago. So it was rather a quick process from zero.
Are we going to have a promo signing on TV?
A promo signing?
No, you know, they have a signing.
Well, CM Punk is going to be on Raw tonight. So when we record our next episode on Thursday, we can refer to it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, Drew McIntyre, and I don't have any footage of this, sadly, because it wasn't recorded, storms off. So he was also in the main event. He was part of the losing side with Judgment Day in the men's War Games match. Now, this may not have been an angle, or it's reported that it's not in the storyline. This was a genuine event. Is that before CM Punk came out with all the good guys cheering in the ring, all the bad guys had left, but it was reported that Drew McIntyre, while holding his eye, stormed to the back and got his stuff on and left. This wasn't caught on anyone's camera, and there are very much unconfirmed rumours, but the belief within the company is that he was upset at Punk's return. But whatever it is, he was legitimately angry about something backstage beforehand and after.
Well, it's another one of those things saying, did this happen or did this not happen? Is there truth in what we're hearing or not? I think they're kind of wearing this out right now. They're trying to get everybody to say that's why what he believes and what he believes. They go with your main point, and the main point is Punk came back and see what he's going to do there. And your other people or your set players, they can come in and out as your story dictates. But I think they've done a great job of this. I think they've done a much better job than AEW could do with it. Because I just don't think they have the knowledge at this point to do that.
How much, I'm sticking with Drew, how much value do you think Drew McIntyre has at this point? Because his contract was originally going to run up at the end of the year. Now it's believed to have been pushed back due to injury. They've rolled it up a few months, and he's going to be finishing up with the company around April 2024, WrestleMania time. And as of press time, as it were, it's believed he's yet to re-sign. He's been kept in a prominent position on television. But what do you think of Drew McIntyre?
Well, I don't think he really has a spot.
No?
I don't. What's he going to do? I mean, I think he blew his spot at the Clash at the Castle. I think that's when he blew his spot. I mean, then they got to do with something else. To me, he doesn't excite me. And he may excite people in the UK, but I think, and he's a big guy. But it's not how big the guy is, it's how big the story is. And the story, if it's around CM Punk, he's going to have to be involved in that. And I don't think I see a spot for him.
Just looking at it, he had over 30-minute match with Roman Reigns. I know you're a big fan of Clash at the Castle. I think that's where you fell in love with Gunther as well in that match. I think it was maybe a triple threat match. I think Sheamus was in it anyway. Or maybe it was a single. I can't remember. The point is that with Clash at the Castle, it was the first UK pay-per-view in God knows how long, decades. International, not UK-only pay-per-view. Would you have put the title on Drew McIntyre just for a short time, or do you think Roman Reigns' reign on top was too important to break up?
Nope. Not in 100 years.
No?
No, if you got a team that's winning, you don't go out there and intentionally sabotage your own creation, because you got to think, well, it took them how long to get Roman Reigns to that spot?
Years and years.
Took them a long time, and they're not going to put their title what's his name? McIntyre? What's his name?
You can't remember his name. That was all, you almost came up with white rapper Macklemore there. Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah. White Macklemore. Yeah, that's what I came up with. And Gunther. I mean, how long did it take them to get Gunther over?
Not long. He was on the main roster, and he was pretty fast.
Yeah, but I'm saying his matches they would have 10 minutes to with him, and he beat some pretty big names.
Mm-hmm.
He just beat him up.
Beat Miz at Survivor Series as well. I won't bore you to death with all the Survivor Series stuff, but
he
yeah.
Should have beat Miz.
Definitely, I think. I heard it described, and the match was described as above average for Miz matches and below average for Gunther matches. So,
oh yeah,
take
I
that
can
for,
believe that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird ending as well, where he sort of like, you'd have to watch it, but he, at the end, Gunther tried to do like a splash, but he sort of put his knees down like he was expecting Miz to react or move out of the way or whatever it was going to be, and then Miz didn't. So there was a bit of a weird ending, but essentially Gunther won clean and moved on. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to ask this, or am I just going to move on? No, forget it. I'm going to move on. I'm not even going to give you the results, because if you really want to know them. Apart from Santos Escobar, you've been watching SmackDown every week.
Yes.
Do you see much potential in Mr. Escobar as a fresh heel?
I think the jury is still out on him. I think he needs to see if he can catch a whiff of Eddie Guerrero to kind of spice him up. But I'm not seeing the Eddie Guerrero, because Eddie had personality. I don't think Escobar has that personality. Not yet. I'm not saying he can't get it, but he doesn't have it yet. And he's the only one of that group that has any potential that can move forward.
Do you not see Carlito being able to move forward? Because Escobar and Carlito are going to be in a feud.
I love Carlito. But he was over before, they said. Was he over before?
What, in his first run?
No, you know, it was... But the people, was he over?
I think, yeah, when he came back, he certainly was. He's done like a couple of like one-offs the last couple of years, and then they signed him. They signed him months and months ago, and then they just kept him off TV until like August, because they mm-hmm. just couldn't find anything for him to do, and then he ended up in the LWO. You tell me if you think I'm wrong. The problem with the Carlito character, at least in the old version of it, was that it was so one-dimensional. It was like he spat apple in the face of people who didn't want to be cool. And that's sort of where it ended. And I'm just wondering how you sort of like update the Carlito character so it's got more depth.
Well, I think the Carlito character has run its route. He's run his race. They're trying to redo it from what he had in the past. They're having difficulty doing that. So he needs a reboot. And I don't know what they're going to do, but as it's going right now, I think he needs a lot of help with that character.
Very briefly, Dragon Lee, he's been catching fire the last couple of weeks. He was getting some good cheers at Survivor Series. It was a very good match on SmackDown last week with I can't remember who, but it got... I forgot the guy's name. But he's been getting a lot more cheers recently. So, Dragon Lee.
Do I like him?
Yeah.
He needs more personality, too. Oh, he does great moves. He does some great moves. But he still needs something. If they're going to attach a rocket to anybody, they're going to have something that they can attach it to. I mean, Dragon Lee, when he comes to the ring, people like him. But they can only do this. People don't like the Hispanics, or they don't like this, or the other Hispanics not liking him. They can only do that so long before then the chickens come home to roost. Okay, where's this going?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're having a trouble defining what he wants that character to be.
So it's essentially everyone apart from Rey Mysterio in the LWO of the guys. They're all just sort of just middling personalities, and someone needs to break out and sort of like really become an over-the-top sort of storyteller, it seems.
Well, he didn't come over the top, because When you see the when they come over the top, you can see it taking a bite right when they're doing it. And it didn't. I don't see any biting going on.
We shall move on. Triple H had some very interesting comments at the. But I know your
about
favorite
me.
Word. Someone did. We're going to be getting to some interesting comments about you from somebody else later on. But Triple H said, when asked where Jade Cargill has been recently after debuting on WWE television in Out of the Ring scenarios, so she was all over TV for a couple of weeks and now she's disappeared, Triple H had the following to say. I have no less belief in Jade now than I did then, when he signed. Or he signed her. It's interesting when she came in, we talked about her development and where she would land. I want to make sure that no matter what is thrown at Jade Cargill, she is ready. And at no fault of her own, I think she was limited in that. So the idea is we exposed her, we made her be seen, people are understanding, and they are waiting and they're excited for her to come. And when she does, it will be massive. I don't want to pitch to get thrown at her that she's never seen before. I want no matter what that pitch is, she's going to crack that thing out of the park. You can just see it in her. That's the presence she has. That's the star she is. Now, there's one very interesting line, is that Jade Cargill is essentially, through no fault of her own, limited physically. What he is saying there is that AEW has done a terrible job of training Jade Cargill, essentially.
I actually agree. They put her out there for week after week after week and just let her win. That's why she got up to 50 wins or 60 wins. But I don't think it helped her at all, because I don't think anybody of the talent would act like they fear her. And she doesn't go in there and do really crazy stuff. So I think they have actually worked against that girl. And they worked against her getting over. So, and that's why she's off TV now. They're backing up. They're taking stock of her again. And let's see where they go with it. I wish her a lot of luck.
I don't think it sounds like buyer's remorse, but Jade Cargill is definitely, to this point, as far as technical proficiency, she is style over substance. And how much can you learn over the course of 2 years or whatever it is in 60 matches?
Well, I think she needs a manager that can talk his ass off. And he brings her out and he's taking her over and let's go from there. Because I don't think her verbal skills are going to blow anybody away at all. She looks good. She looks great. She's 160 pounds. She can go up against Charlotte Flair. She can go up against, what's her name?
Becky Lynch, you're Io Sky. She go up against anyone.
She can go up against all of them. So, but they got to tell a story with her. And unless they tell the story, where's it going? So I don't think putting the title on her right away, it doesn't help anything. She's had the title for, almost over a year before. I don't think it helped her that much. So we'll see where they take this.
So I just looked up then. She's had in AEW something like 61 matches in AEW. Most of the matches were short. She won pretty much every single one of them. And then it got me thinking, and I actually wrote this for something else, is that of all the AEW homegrown stars, very few of them, since they started, let's say 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or even maybe from 2019, have actually improved. And I was looking at one specifically, Hook, which is Taz's son. He wrestled Rocky Romero on the weekend, or Dynamite, I can't remember which one it was, or just everything's just running towards. And he's not improved. He's still, you know, a bit nervous and a bit unsure of himself. And then you see how many matches he's wrestled on TV. 40-ish in 2 years. And there's like no house shows, really. Very few live events that AEW puts over the year.
Do they even do house shows?
Occasionally.
Well, he's had nowhere to learn, to tell you the truth.
Exactly.
Did he work some independent shows?
He must have done, but none big enough to even put on cagematch.net.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, he needs to be on a show where he can get in front of people to try his stuff, and somebody needs to be personally picked to be in that ring could teach this kid. Taz knows that. Taz is going to let him go to these shows and just say, hey, learn it on your own like I did, because Taz learned from much better instructors than what they got out there now.
Yeah, and I'm sure he wrestled 4 times a week when he was starting out on little independent shows here, there and everywhere to tweak his character and get his footwork right and everything like that. But I mean, with a lot of the young kids, you know, like Jungle Boy and who else can I mention? I can't remember. Daniel Garcia, there's another name just to pluck out of thin air. All these young guys, none of them really, or very few of them, seem to be doing independent dates, and they're certainly not doing 3-4 matches a week to improve themselves continually. So essentially, you just end up in sort of stasis.
Well, if they get paid to sit at home, there's no need for them to get out on the road. That's what I'm saying. If you want to learn, you got to go and work a match. You're not going to make a killing for it. You're not going to make $300. You're not going to make $200. You make $150. But they tell you, you get better and you'll make $200, $250. Now you have an incentive to kind of learn the wrestling game. Otherwise, you're just going to the ring and going through the motions, and you get your hand raised at the end. I guarantee you, they take them on these shows and don't get any heat on them either. They don't know how to sell. They don't know how to look at the people to get the people to react to them. So I think it's the worst possible way to learn ever. But everybody knows who he is. So if you put him on an independent show, everybody's going to know who he is. So he needs to go out there with a middle of the card guy in AEW and get the crap beat out of him a time or two and see if they can teach him something.
You said a very important word there before, privilege. So let's say Hook is, I don't know, 24 years old or something like that now. So he was signed, let's say, when he was 22. Plucking numbers out of the air, but they're roughly right. I'm sure when he was signed, he was making, for the amount of hours he's working and traveling, very good money. 6 figures, most likely, I don't know. But, you know, far better than the national average, I'm sure. And then what about in a year's time, let's say his contract runs out, and he goes, hey, you know, I've been on AEW TV for years now. I'm a well enough known name. I'm going to try my luck at WWE. And then he could go to WWE. They sign him. And then they realize, or one way or the other, they don't sign him. They talk to him and they say, well, how many matches have you had? Oh, 50 in 3 years. And they'll look at him and laugh him out of the room. But the thing is, Jay Cargill's sort of the same thing, but she's a spectacular physical specimen that they can market around in that sense. So maybe she got like a pass on that front.
Well, we'll have to see where they go with this, because I am not a big believer in overpaying guys starting out. You know, the NFL, their first year, you know what, say he was All-American quarterback. You know what they make the first year? They have a gap.
A scale,
right, that they can't make more than.
I don't know.
And it's $400,000. So if you put that in the scale of AEW, if they're making, I don't know, say $200,000, that's not a lot a match, but they're paying this guy $400,000 a year to practice, because that is I think that is what they said, the point to where a first year rookie can make without any problem.
Is it the salary cap?
It is the salary cap. Yeah. They wanted to give me one. And I said, and I hopped over the table and slapped them. I said, here's your cap. And then they come across with all the money. See?
Where's your cap?
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
That's my cap. And here's the other one. For sale, by the way, University of Dutch.
Hmm?
See, we would go down the road. The University of Dutch was always in session. Always. We go to a match, it's in session, going to the match. And we get out. And we walk in a dressing room. And they bring over your opponent. Okay. So now we start thinking about your opponent. Or whoever's facing him does. Not up to me. But it's up to the talent. That if she's over, like, say, Cargill, you know, she has to go out there and actually make this opponent worth beating. She's got to make this girl look pretty good. Because when it comes back and they said, well, who'd you beat? And, well, so-and-so, that wasn't too hard, was it? And she said, yeah, a lot better, a lot harder than what I thought. Now she can tell a story. Yeah, if they knock me off, they got a bragging right. But now if I were going in a ring against you and they say, okay, we want you to go 8 minutes, do something, a finish, but they would make James look well enough that he looks like he belongs in the same ring as you do. If you just go out there and beat him up, that didn't do you, either one of you, any good. So go out there, make him stronger than what he needs to be. But so when you beat him at the end, you've beaten somebody. And it has always made sense to me then, makes sense to me now.
Yep, and it's a talent to learn as well. We are speaking of which talent. AEW's Gravity. A new Lucha Libre wrestler was on AEW Collision. Now, this was going on against Survivor Series at the time. So, you know, most people, I imagine, are watching Survivor Series. And boy, did you miss a doozy if you weren't watching Collision, which most people weren't. Just as a brief aside, Tony Khan only promoted one match. I think it was Eddie Kingston versus Keith Lee, and then nothing else, because I think everybody's going to realise what's the point. It's a dead show, essentially. So why get your best stuff out there and no one watch it? Anyway, there was a match between, if I can find the damn names, House of Black, Malakai Black and Buddy Matthews versus Commander and a new luchador called Gravity, who is the brother of Bandido, who apparently cannot do anything at all without messing it up. So I'm going to show you a little video, and here we go, 1 second. Okay, we're back. I apologize right now for the audio listeners. You're just going to see Dutch just... You're going to miss Dutch's facial expressions when you see this. And I'll put some silly music over it as well, so bear with me. Here we go. Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tamest one.
What are you doing, kid?
This one's pretty incredible. So.
I like the last one.
Whoa, I've clicked on something. What the hell have I done? Oh, I clicked on something else. Now, do you want to restudy any of those?
No need to restudy them, but.
It's fine.
Now, who is this guy, Gravity?
Yeah. His greatest enemy is Gravity.
This Gravity, if he's that bad, coming from Mexico, nobody's taught him anything. And the Mexicans do teach their people some of these moves. But apparently in this one, they didn't. And it makes, and not only does the guy look bad, his opponent looks bad too. That's why you got to take this guy. Anybody that's going to see, if I go and ring against you and I'm going to beat you, I want you to look as good as I can make you look for a short time anyway. But the guy, he just looked like a stumble bum. and he didn't really get anything over. Didn't look like he was a wrestler. He didn't look like anything. He looked pathetic, is what he looked like.
There's something special about when a Lucha Libre match goes wrong, because like with a normal match, you know, things happen and you can, it looks clunky and everything, but with Lucha Libre there are so many parts to every move that it's like five micro botches into one giant botch. And I'm keep in mind, I wasn't picking out the worst bits of that match. What Bandido did, he messed up, aside from a cross body block, anything that wasn't a strike, he messed up every single move. That was a collection of all of them.
Put together. It's called Bot City. That's what it was.
It's funny, isn't it?
And I wonder, when they took that back to the studio, how did it look when it came out?
I think that was live. I think that was a live broadcast. Hey, nothing can go wrong when it's live, pal.
What they told JR, let's have this match here. Let me do this interview over Kate, pal. So it's live. who'd he tell that to? Sid?
Sid, yeah. And he sort of goes, oh, can we just roll that back? Can't, pal. That's live. Good times.
But, hey, that's the... Now, you think, whose fault is that? Well, I'll tell you whose fault it is. Basically, is the talent.
Oh, you're going to say the booker.
Well, it can't be the booker either. It can be.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I just want to add one more thing. So Commander, who's not afraid of a botch himself, this was Gravity's tag team partner, looked very good here, and he seems to be hitting all of his stuff. And of course, he took the pin, because he always takes the pin, and he's been booked as a jobber ever since, you know, he debuted, and he's just a jobber for life, essentially. And he probably didn't pin Gravity, because somehow Gravity would have ballsed up the pin. Probably would have just like, yeah, or something. Next. You
know, I don't know. That's your department to pick these matches.
Yeah,
I'm just commenting on them.
Next on the agenda. And this is something that hasn't been released yet, but I haven't got the video for it either, so I'm going to have to sum up the comments. I interviewed Tully Blanchard on the weekend, and he said something to me that I was very interested in discussing with you. So this is sort of a sneak peek of that interview. Tully told me that in his two-year stint in AEW, because he was a manager and he even did a one wrestling match, that not one person in AEW, not one worker, not one wrestler, not one performer, came up to him and asked him for advice. And, to make things worse, nobody has ever, while Tully was there for 2 years, ever went up to Arn Anderson and asked for his advice. What is going on? How could you? They're two of the greatest.
So they have two of the greatest working minds in the business, and they won't even go up and ask for help?
None of them. None of them have, apparently.
And were they ever told you need to ask these guys for help? Or they just won't do it?
I mean, if you had half a brain in your head, you would. It's like, hey, there's two of the four horsemen. Of course you go up to them. And I have it on good authority, say no names, that they're not the only two legends in AEW who have never been asked for their advice.
Who's the other two?
I'm not going to tell you. That's confidential for now.
You have to tell me.
I'll tell you afterwards. Oh, okay. Yeah, both Tully and Arn are just baffled that no one's coming up to him, and then it's just picking up a check. And then
I got it.
Did that used to be the case? Back when you were a kid?
No. First of all, if you didn't say hello to the guy, you was a butthole. You'd have to go up and shake his hand, introduce yourself. But I hear now they don't even do that. See, if a guy's in the back and he's a name that you used to watch when you were a fan, and he's done some great stuff, you go up and say, my name is Dutch. I said, hello, I'm Dutch. I'm Dirty Dutch. And then the guy would shake my hand and he'll introduce himself. And I said, great to meet you. And so at least I introduce myself to the guy as a form or a measure of respect. And if I wanted something from him, I would say, can I ask you something? And of course, they'll say, sure, whatever. And you ask them, how would you do this finish? And this is in the match, and have the guy, whether you use it or not, go ahead and let them know that you've considered their finish. And sometimes it's in there, and sometimes you go with something else. But that shows your respect, and it shows if a guy's been in the business for 3 years, it shows the respect for 30 years that they've dedicated to this business. And you're trying to say, hey, what do you think about this? And go from there.
When did this start changing? Because, I mean, you know, you from WWF and WWE and Memphis and everything, but you did a lot of indies as well in the 90s and 2000s and 2010s, or early 2010s at least.
I don't know when it's stopped being like that. I don't know why, but I've never done it. And I've had people that didn't come up to me, but I didn't think anything about it. But if you're not going to do it, I mean, you can't be forced to do it. A talent can't be forced to go up to an old timer and shake their hand, but it is a measure of respect. Thank you very much for what you've done to the business. And can I ask you something? And whether you use it or not, are you asking for his logic on the wrestling business? And what was your best logic anybody ever gave you? Then you're engaging them in conversation, which makes you get a lot of good answers if you do it like that. But I've seen guys sit in the same dressing room for 6 hours and not ever meet the guy sitting right over across from him. Now, tell me wherever that came in. I don't know.
In a future episode of the Franchise University with Shane Douglas, that you can find on Shane, all podcasts and Shane Douglas.
What does Shane say about it?
Well, this is exactly what I'm going to say. Someone wrote in with a question and said, has AEW or Impact or WWE ever come towards you, made an overture someone's just ringing me then. Basically be a producer or agent or something in that vein. And he said, no, none of them have. And especially with AEW, he feels even if someone did ask for advice, the business has changed so much since when he learned, since when you learned, that even if I gave them the best advice, it wouldn't translate to today's wrestlers because they pre-plan everything. They don't react to the crowd, you know, like a stand-up comedian kind of thing. You know, if the A material's not working, hit them with the B material, that kind of thing. And just advice of the old-timers back in the day isn't even relevant to wrestlers today because just the business has changed that much.
It's a shame to see it in the condition it's in today. Now, AEW, they have a pretty good TV show. But if you're talking about their just rank and file talent, they have no way to learn it. Because you're having people teach them that don't even understand it themselves. I may be wrong on that. I don't want to say anything out of school about that, but it looks like to me that they're seeking advice, but you can get advice. Seeking advice, but yet not even trying that advice out. See, they want every match to be like a 10. Some matches are not going to be 10s. Some matches, the most you're going to get out of there is like a 6. So don't hurt yourself by trying to get a 6 because that's all you're going to get anyway. But they need to go to school every day. to learn this. And if he's going to have a wrestling school, I think they have to go almost every day. And if they're working, well, they got to show up at 5 o'clock or 30 or for an hour and a half session. Because then they're learning the business, learning how it's done. And not only are you learning how it's done, you're learning the political side of the business as well. So we'll see. We'll see where it leads.
Guess what?
What?
Tammy Sitch, we believe, has been sentenced. I don't know what the number is. I'm going to share it with us two, and we're going to watch it live, and we'll see if it's right. So bear with me 1 second.
Damn, oh my God.
Don't tell me. I don't know what it is. Or have you found it?
I haven't found it yet.
Oh, fucking hell, I thought.
I was just saying that.
Oh my God.
You're saying, don't tell me.
No, do you know what? Do you know what? My friends just sent me. I'm gonna message you.
That is too much.
So, next on the agenda, as we've got one eye on Tammy Sitch's sentencing being announced. We don't know what it is yet, but I've got one eye on the thing straight away. Adam Page. So this was about a week ago. It's sort of old news now, but I wanted to get your opinion on it anyway. Adam Page on AEW Full Gear pay-per-view the Saturday before last. Drank Swerve Strickland's blood on pay-per-view. Did you see it?
Yep. I saw that. I'm thinking, why? Why would you do something as gross as that? Because I'm thinking, if the advertisers see it, why would somebody want to advertise on a show that they see one participant drinking another participant's blood? Is this damn the midnight hour or what? We got vampires running around here. It's a wrestling show. And I know they didn't like each other, but why would somebody drink another person's blood? I don't get it. I don't think it helps you get any more over. It's disgusting. And I just don't get it. For him to put his mouth under and the guy drips the blood into it, I don't get it.
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that ever in any other promotion?
No. And I don't want to see it. If you want to see somebody do it, check out an Abdullah match. Isn't the blood enough? But you got to have, oh, this guy's so crazy that he's drinking the blood. What the fuck is going on? How does that change anybody's perception of Hangman Page? I don't get it at all. So he can probably do it. And I don't know. But I don't think nobody's going to be coming back to him in a year or in 6 months and, oh, I watched you when you drank the blood from Swerve. Oh, it was beyond the pale. It was cutting edge. Get the fuck out of here. It was stupid. It really was. And we'll work in the long term of getting you over. And I bet the next company he goes for and the guy, they get blood. If I was the booker, I'd tell him explicitly, don't drink the blood, okay? I mean, we're not selling blood. We're not selling it at damn a quarter a quart. I mean, $2 a quart. Don't drink the blood. Now, that goes beyond the health value of it. What if he was sick? Mm. What's a blood disease?
AIDS, hepatitis.
Hepatitis. And you're going to drink that? Oh, I don't get it. I don't think it helps them. I don't think it gets them any new fans. Yeah, it's different. It really is. And that's about the only thing you can say as a redeeming quality about blood, that one of the guys drank it.
Now, do you think
does that make you want to see a match?
No. I mean, I actually looked at a still of it. I didn't even watch the video. And I saw the still of it and went, I really don't want to watch the video. So, I mean, I've not got the strongest stomach for these kinds of things, but that's going to appeal to a very niche audience, and that's going to put off a lot of families. Women, more than men, I suggest.
Okay, here's a guy or a woman. Their kid is watching, 6 or 7 or 8 year old kid is watching this. And all of a sudden, they want to be like these wrestlers and drink the blood. Oh, my God. What do you think? Do you think you're going to get some blowback on that?
Mm-hmm.
I think they made a bad choice with that.
They could get a sponsor, though, for this match.
Like they could get a what?
Like a sponsor for the match. This match sponsored by Red Kool-Aid or something like that, you know.
That would be great, really. Right after he does it, and then you roll it in right there. Red Kool-Aid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then go back, and they're bleeding all over the place.
It's better than blood, something like that.
Don't try blood when you can have the greatest substitute. Red, what is it?
Kool-Aid, I
guess. Red Kool-Aid.
We could go on about the build-up, because it started when Swerve Strickland broke into Paige's home and entered the bedroom of Paige's infant son. And then Paige had weeks to do something about it, and then just sort of didn't, including just not going to arenas where Swerve Strickland had been announced in advance. So somehow it went from extraordinary start-off to no follow-up to a blood feud match that culminates in... Well, it starts with barbed wire boards and staple guns and steel chairs and stuff like that. Then it sort of culminates in blood drinking in the middle of the ring. So it sort of goes from 100 to 0 to 1,000.
Well, how long have they been working this angle?
Oh, weeks and weeks and weeks.
And that's the blow off to it?
Swerve Strickland did win that via knockout. So at least it continues. But I mean, where do you go from blood drinking?
Yeah, but where are you going to go?
Poo eating?
And who wants to see it now? Maybe he eats his arm for the for the calcium content in his bones. See, they entered into this with no direction whatsoever. I mean, they can only so many things you can do in a damn no DQ, whatever it was they had. But see, AEW does the really great matches, and then they do the blow-off matches, but it's really never in between much. I don't know. I mean, when you look at a show and you're saying, I don't know, that means it didn't touch you one way or the other. Now, when I watch SmackDown sometimes, I enjoy their show. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching it because you can see where they're going and how entertaining it will be when they get there. So we'll see.
Now, there's a couple of things I'm going to skip over. I might just mention briefly, it's believed that MJF has re-signed with AEW. So all that, you know, WWE in 2024 kind of thing, we don't know how much of that was a work, or if it was all a work, or... Anyway, the point is, it's believed he's re-signed. Will Ospreay has signed with AEW as well. We won't dwell on this, we'll just move on, I'm just saying it. It was probably a bit of a surprise to me, because he's already wrestled 11 matches for AEW, but he's now signed. Similarly, Kota Ibushi, who's also wrestled about 4 matches for AEW, has also signed with AEW, which is this sort of backwards thing going on there. So essentially, Will Ospreay chose AEW over WWE, multi-year deal, 7 figures a year kind of thing. But there's one that's more interesting who has turned up on an AEW property, and that is Ronda Rousey. So on Ring of Honor, so this was only on Honor Club, which is their over-the-top streaming service, She made a couple of surprise appearances on the Indies since leaving WWE after SummerSlam 2023, and then made yet another surprise appearance, this time for Tony Khan's Ring of Honor show, teaming with Marina Shafir and defeating Athena and Billy Starks. Where do you think Ronda, if anywhere, actually ends up? Do you think she's ever going to sign another contract, or is she just doing this to just do it?
Well, I think your comment there at the end, she's just doing it just to do it, I guess. I don't know what they can do with her, because she is not a good one to tell a story with. I mean, if they're going to tell a story, that girl, like Rhonda, has to get in trouble. She has to be threatened. She has to be... Something has to happen to her, and then she comes out and she wants to get these people, whoever done something to them, to her. But I don't know what they can do yet. I don't think Rhonda is a storyteller. Not so much, but we'll see where this goes. And don't set your standards too high, because I'm predicting doom for this one.
As you turn your microphone towards you, I'll ask you this next question. Did the last WWE run for Ronda Rousey hurt her?
No. Did it hurt her?
Yeah, in the eyes of fans, in her ability to draw.
Well, does she have an ability to draw?
I think she did the first time. Her first run she did. I mean, she first helped. Time. Yeah, the first time, time she did. The second
she
time.
She was new. And we didn't know what she could do. But now, that first, you're talking about that first run.
Yeah.
That probably did seal the fate on her. Now she's back in a lesser role, on a streaming channel, and she's working with these girls with no story, just having matches. So I don't think that we're going to expect, I'm not expecting a lot out of her at all.
Okay, let's say this then. Let's say Tony Khan offers her just crazy money and says, come to AEW, you know, and you know, do 10, 15, 20 matches a year, because everyone else seems to do that many for them. And she accepts. Can you build a women's division around Ronda Rousey in 2023?
I don't think so.
Why not?
What are you going to build around? She's not going to... They got that Jade girl. How many people can you build around? You got that Cora Jade coming in. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not her. But you're not going to build anything about Ronda Rousey. WWE has shown that. So once they show that you can't build anything around it, maybe MMA needs to come in and just put her out there in the ring for 3 minutes, let her beat the crap out of somebody, then get her stronger opponents. They may go there, but it won't be exciting at all. I've lost my, I don't know what I want to say. The thrill, I guess, for lack of a better word, of Ronda Rousey. I really have, because I don't think it doesn't do it.
I think we may have an answer on the Tammy Sitch thing. Let me just pause and let's find out.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just going to... Oh, I thought it said... Just says to be sentenced 1 minute ago. See?
That says to be sentenced.
Yeah, I thought it said it happened. Ah, nuts. Oh, Lord Almighty. I hope we can actually get to this before, because, I mean, this will be the biggest news of the bloody, of the whole, day. Anyway. Okay. We'll just move on to the next thing, and then I'll just keep my eye on it. Probably our last story before hopefully we get a news on Tammy Sitch is, and this is quite appropriate, actually, Nick Hogan, DUI. Now, that, and excuse my language here, but that dipshit Nepo baby of son of Hulk Hogan's Nick Hogan, Nick Bollea, the real name, was once again arrested and charged with a DUI in Clearwater, Florida. According to People, the website, the magazine, in the early morning hours of Saturday, Bollea barreled toward a set of three Clearwater Police Department vehicles in his black 2021 Dodge Ram. The affidavit alleges when the officers who were conducting other businesses a business near the median signaled for him to move away from them, he continued forward, clocking 51 miles in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. And what else have we got? Although the police alleged that Bollea refused a BRAC test, which I suspect is a breathalyzer, measures the amount of alcohol in the driver's system. The officers said a strong odor of an alcoholic, but he was drunk, for God's sake. That's basically it. And he failed field sobriety tests. Why this is particularly galling, and, I've got no love for drink drivers. I know you don't, especially. And we're going to be talking about Tammy soon, hopefully, as well. But when Nick Hogan was 17 on August 2007, Nick managed to permanently maim his passenger and best friend, John Graziano, when engaging in a drag race in his yellow Toyota Supra. Actually, it might have been Hulk Hogan's, his dad's. He crashed the car. His friend, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, sustained severe eye and brain injuries, spent two years in hospital nearly, and now requires 24-hour around-the-clock care for the rest of his life. Nick was over the blood alcohol limit for a person under the age of 21. He got 8 months in jail, served 6 months, plus 500 hours of community service and 5 years probation, etc. So, some people just don't learn. Tammy and Nick
They don't
Hogan.
learn. I mean, I was talking to a state senator in Tennessee when I was trying to get this bill passed. And he kept looking at me like, well, yeah, we can get it done. We can get it done. But I'm thinking, well, what is your reluctance? I says, does this incident have to happen to you personally for you to get in, to get engaged in this? Do you want somebody to hit your daughter or your son or your wife or your child, young child? Because he's taken somebody from me that will never be returned. And I think the laws, they should reflect that. And the sentences should reflect that. In Tammy Sitch's case, that man will never come back. He got hit that day, just sitting at a red light because she was drunk, not paying attention. She hit him like 50 miles an hour. I don't know why she's not dead. But remember, I heard this when I was a kid. The drunks don't get hurt because they're already going with the car anyway, or the movements. But the man that was sitting in the car waiting for a light to change, and she just barreled into the back of him and killed him. So I hope Tammy Sitch, I think whatever her sentence is, if it's underneath 15 years, I'm going to be highly disappointed. And I think it should be 15, maybe 20,
Focusing,
because.
I do apologize. We'll be talking about Tammy in a second, so we will bring all this up. I've got 3 pages on it. Just focusing on Nick here. He's already gone to jail once as a minor for causing, permanent damage to his best friend, who got a $1.5 million settlement, by the way. But now, as an adult who's got another DUI, will he see prison time for this because of the prior record, or will that have been expunged, or will it not come into account because it was so long ago?
How long ago was it?
2007, so 16 years ago, while Nick was 17.
Well, he hasn't learned anything in 17 years, apparently. Yeah, he needs to go to jail for this. He needs to spend time behind bars And every day he wakes up in that prison, he needs to think what he's cost another family. He's cost them their grandfather, cost them their father, their uncle, their brother, their cousin. He has caused all of that grief, and he needs to pay for it. You know, a lot of people look at prison like, oh, they won't do nothing. But that's what prison is for. You know, prison said, well, they put them in prison for them to do rehab. Bullshit. Put them in prison to keep them away from me. Keep them away from you. Keep them away from somebody else that they don't know on the street. Because Tammy Sitch, whatever her name is, has been charged about 8 times or more.
More?
With drunk driving. What is the big deal with this girl? The most she served in jail was, what, 1.5 years, maybe?
Not that.
And then gets out. How much?
Not even that. I think about 8-9 months is the most she served.
And she gets out, and then she goes and kills somebody. Did she mean to kill it? No. Did she get drunk and kill him? Yes. That means I don't give a crap. And you do what you want to. I'm still going to drink. So I hope they throw the book at her. I would probably be bitching about the guy who killed my granddaughter, except he died as well. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that he died, I hate to say this, but I kind of said that, well, you deserve to die. Because I don't, but when I told those state senators, they were, you know, of course, they're trying to get this bill through. And I'm thinking, does this have to actually happen to you or your family for you to take a personal interest in sentencing drunk drivers? So when you put them in there, I mean, you put them in there. Jail is not for rehabilitation, not in the drunk driver cases. Jail is to keep those people away from everybody else. Hopefully enough time that they won't kill anybody. Maybe they will learn something in prison. Maybe they won't. But I don't know. It's a sad situation.
Okay, everybody. So because the Tammy Sitch verdict or the sentencing hasn't come through yet, we are going to draw it there, and we will refer to it either on Thursday, or if it happens in the next few minutes, then we'll start recording again. We'll add it in. Otherwise, thank you very much for watching, everybody. We will be back on Thursday for our regularly scheduled Storytime with Dutch episode. We don't have a question and answer session this week, so essentially it's going to be Storytime 77. Then on Thursday, it's going to be Storytime 78. So for now, thank you very much for watching. We're sorry we missed you for a few days. And Dutch, we the people.
We the people. Take care of your health, because it can get away from you in a second.